Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Kuf Tes Zayin, 116. Okay, we are coming off from yesterday's daf. We started the new parak yesterday. 16th parak of Shabbos deals with Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh, writings of the Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. Each one of these farm represent love of Kedusha. And that your house is on fire on Shabbos, even though, generally speaking, the Chachamim prohibited salvaging and saving anything from the house for fear that you start going into your house and start saving things and salvaging things, you're going to want to put out your house and put out the fire. Adam Bahu Amamona, a person gets a little bit crazy when it comes to his own money and emotional, so therefore the Chachamim said, you know what, best thing to do? Just let the house burn down. Don't go in and don't start saving things. However, the RPAC deals with the idea that you can go in and you can save Kisvei HaKodesh. So if you have any of the holy writings in your house, so you can go into your house and you can save the Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, the Gemara Kedarka B'Kodesh, in its general pattern, is going to basically go over what exactly is Kisvei HaKodesh. What do we mean by that? So the simple pshat is that it has to be Sifrei Tanakh. Anything, any portion of Tanakh, anything that, what do they say, it's canonized. Right? There are 24 Sifrei Tanakh, there are 24 books of Tanakh, so anything that is incorporated into the canonization is subject to being saved from a burning house. However, if it's not Sifrei Tanakh, so it cannot be saved. That's the baseline, the basic outline of our parak. The question we dealt with yesterday, which we pretty much finished, although the Gemara did not come to a conclusion, is a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. What if Sifrei Kodesh is written in other languages? So let's say you have a Bible written in English. So is that save worthy? So that was a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna was a machmir. Rav Huna says, "Ein matzil asom ibnei adleika." You cannot save it from the fire. It does not have enough status. And Rav Chista says, "You do go ahead and you do save it from the fire." Okay, and that is, the Gemara spent a lot of time yesterday going back and forth over this particular machlokas. The Gemara ends up with no resolution in terms of who we paskin like. We move on in the Gemara now, and we are going to basically take us from where we left off yesterday. Bamin Eresh Galusa Meirava Barav Huna. It's a third of the way down on Kuf Tes Vavam and Beis. And the following question has been raised. Let's say it's written with ink, but not permanent ink. The Gemara describes it as sam sikra kumos, ink that basically comes from sap, from kankantom, shoe ink. In other words, it's not the ink that's acceptable to be used for a Sefer Torah. So it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, On cloth. It's just right now the element that's missing is the correct ink, the proper ink. These inks are not permanent inks. And the Gemara wants to know, do we save it, do we not save it? So the Gemara says now, going backwards to yesterday's discussion, really we can ask in both directions. Now, Rav Huna's position yesterday is that if the Tanakh is written in English, so you don't go back and you don't save it because it's not in Lashon HaKodesh. In order for it to have status, it has to have Lashon HaKodesh, it has to be written in Lashon HaKodesh. But over here, it is written in Lashon HaKodesh. Granted, it's not written in the proper ink, but nevertheless it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, so therefore it has enough status, and therefore you're going to go back to the house and save it from a fire. On the other hand, you can also go in the other direction, meaning Rav Chista, who said yesterday that if the Tanakh is written in another language, it's not written in Lashon HaKodesh, but let's say it's written in English. So he's of the opinion that you can go back and save it, yeah, but that's because it's written in an ink, that's a permanent ink. So, but over here, however, it may be written in Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not written in a permanent ink. And maybe that now is not going to give it enough status to go ahead and save it. So in other words, the Gemara says that this question that we're asking right now is not necessarily correlated with yesterday's question about language. Amalei, ain't much dealing. So the Gemara's answer is, No, you don't go and save it. The Gemara quotes Rav Hamanuna says that you do save. The Gemara says, look, if he has a brisa that supports his position, I accept it. My Tanya, the Gemara says, wonders what exactly would this brisa be. I'm Rav Ashi, Kedetanya. Ain Bain Sfarim Le Megillah, Lashah Sfarim Nechtavim Becholashon. The Megillah Ashi takes Rav Ashi, Ursal Sefer V'dio. The only difference says the Mishnah Megillah, right? This is the Mishnayos the Megillah. The Mishnayos the Megillah detail Ain Bains, right? There's no difference between this and this except, right, what A, B, and C, or A and B, or sometimes just A. In other words, there's a whole string of Mishnayos over there in the end of the first parak of Megillah that goes over differences. What are the differences between Sfarim and the Megillah? So interestingly enough, Sfarim, meaning all Sifrei Tanakh, can be written in any language. Megillah, however, has to be written in Ashuris, Al HaSefer, Uvidya, with a permanent ink. So that Mishnah Megillah clearly is of the opinion that when it comes to other Sfarim, so other Sfarim can be written, and does not have to be written in D.O., does not have to be written in the permanent black ink, but rather can be written in other inks. And it would still have status. So from this Bryce, it would seem clear that, with exception to Megillah Esther, all the other Sfarim of Tanakh, I don't think we're talking about Torah over here, we're just referring to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but all other Sfarim of Tanakh can be written with other inks, with non-permanent inks, and it doesn't even seem to have to be written on a cloth. You know, the minhag, not a minhag, it's actually stronger than a minhag. The preferable practice when you read the Haftarah is to read it from a Sefer Tanakh. So one wonders, well, you're reading it from a Sefer Tanakh, how exactly do you gain by that? Meaning it's not a cloth, it's not a parchment. Nevertheless, as we're learning right now in our Gemara, when it comes to other Sfarim of Tanakh, it doesn't necessarily need to be on cloth. It doesn't even necessarily need to be written in D.O. And it could very well be that it has status. It has the status of Sifrei Kodesh. The only thing is that it's got to be an entire Sefer, meaning the old-fashioned Haftorah books, right? The ones that were very popular when I was younger. So those only have excerpts from Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and where the Haftarah is going to come from. So that doesn't have status because that's not an entire Sefer. But in other words, if you're using a Tanakh, so it's very, one could easily argue that that does have status because our Gemara over here very clearly articulates that in order for Sifrei Tanakh to have status outside Megillah Esther, it doesn't need to be on cloth, it doesn't need to be D.O., it doesn't have to be written in Ashuris. And it would still have status. Okay. Ba'mine Ravuna Bar Chalov Me Rav Nachman Sefer Torah She'ein Bo Lakish Shmonim V'Chamish Osios Kegon Parsha V'Hi Ben Tzoharon Matzilon So Me'Mne Deleko Ein Matzilon. Okay, good. So now we discussed language. We discussed the ink that's used in order to write. And now we're going to talk about minimum amount. What is the minimum amount of letters that would make up Sefer Torah? So the Gemara points to 85 letters. Okay, 85 letters seems somewhat random. Meaning, where does 85 letters come in? How many letters are there totally in total in a Sefer Torah? 300 and some odd thousand letters in the Sefer Torah. Okay, approximately. I mean, it's somewhere in the 300,000s. So if you have 85 letters, so the Gemara wants to know. And for example, could go on Parsha Vayhi Ben Tzoharon. I like the Parsha Vayhi Ben Tzoharon. I'll come back to that in just a moment. So, do I save it or do I not save it from a Deleika? I'm a Leviti. Bailach Parsha Vayhi Ben Tzoharon Gufa. So the Gemara says, before asking about 85 letters scattered throughout the Torah, why don't we start off with the following question? What about the Parsha Vayhi Ben Tzoharon? Okay, you open up your Chumash to Parshas Baal Oscha. I know you don't have Chumashim right now in front of you. But if you open up your Chumash to Parshas Baal Oscha, so you're going to see somewhere around the end of Perek Yud, I think it is the end of Perek Yud, you're going to see two psukim that make up a Parsha Bifnei Atzmo, its own self-sustained Parsha, when that is the Parsha of Vayhi Ben Tzoha. Right, we're all familiar. Vayhi Ben Tzoha and Vayomer Moshe. Okay, it's the calling when we take out the Sefer Torah. Uvenucho Yomar, Shuvah Hashem. Okay, so those are two psukim, and today's daf is going to discuss, did you notice that when you open up a chumash, meaning not even a chumash, a Sefer Torah, so you'll notice that there are, right now let's call them things that mark off and segment this parsha away from the other Torah, meaning it's not just simply that there's a break in the Torah, separating this parsha than all the other parshas, meaning every parsha has some form of a break, some sort of actual empty space in the Sefer Torah, signifying that it's its own independent parsha. But over here, actually, there are simanios, there are signs that indicate that it's its own separate parsha. Right now, however, for our purposes, for our Gemara, just know the following. Vayihi Mitzrayim is two parshios. It's two psukim, made up of how many letters? Okay, you guessed correctly. It's made up of 85 letters. So now the Gemara wants to know, what about that parsha itself? So, V'tibay lach parsha Vayihi Mitzrayim aron gufa. Hecha dechaser parsha Vayihi Mitzrayim lach kemibay lay dekevin deyislay haskaro safagav delay speshmonim b'chamesh osios matzilin. So the Gemara says, look, even if it's missing letters, but it's got Shem Hashem, Vayihi Mitzrayim aron vayomar Moshe kuma Hashem v'futzay vecha. So in other words, that Hashem Hashem, so just Shem Hashem by itself would warrant the saving it from a fire. Ki kamibay lay sefer Torah Shem bo lalakate mine. So I want to know the following. Let's say I have a Sefer Torah where all that remains is just letters scattered around. I don't have Shem Hashem. In total, it's got 85 letters. So can I save it from the burning house? Now, practically speaking, by the way, how interesting. In other words, you're running into a burning house on Shabbos and you find a Sefer Torah and most of it is kind of rubbed out and you can't make up the letters and now you're sitting there and you're counting. How odd. You're sitting there and you're counting to see whether or not there are 85 letters. But if it has 85 letters, so now the question becomes, do I go ahead and do I save it? My Amarle ain't matzilin. So the answer right now that's provided is, no, you don't. In other words, it's not sufficient. 85 scattered letters throughout the Sefer Torah is not going to be sufficient grounds to save a Sefer Torah. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Targum shekasvu mikro, mikro shekasvu targum, v'ksav ivris matzilin, mimnei hadleika. If I have Targum that's written in Mikra, okay, we'll better explain that in just a moment, or if I have Mikra written in Targum, or if it's written in Ksav Ivris, in lettering of Ivris. Everyone know this? It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There are two letterings that are used to write Lashon HaKodesh. There's what's called Ksav Ashuris. When you look down at your Gemara, that's basically what you're looking at. Not the Rashi script. The Rashi script is some manufactured script, some publisher put it together, and it, you know, makes for us to learn something new in grade school. So it's it is what it is. But in other words, but when you look at the block letters on the page of the Gemara, so that's Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the block letters, and when you look at the Sefer Torah, obviously Sefer Torah is written in Ksav Ashuris. That's the block letters. There is an old script that was used, Ksav Ivris. In the academic world, they call it Phoenician script. Okay, I don't know. I don't know why it's called Phoenician script, but it is. So anyone knows what it looks like. If I were better prepared today, I would have came in with samples. I have you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, you'll see it. It's not block, it's circular, right? The basic shape of each letter is circle, not square. In what we're looking at Ksav Ashur, it's the basic shape of every letter is square, not circle. Okay, 90 degree angles over here. The Phoenician script is Ksav Ivris is circular. So the Gemara basically says the Ksav Ivris, if it's written in this Ksav Ivris, Matzil Mibnei Hadleika. So, by the way, the original Sefer Torah by Moshe was written in Ksav Ivris or Ksav Ashuris. So, debatable, and when we get to Sanhedrin, we'll talk about it. Chaf Aleph, I think. If Stuart here, he would tell me. So, Matzil Mibnei Hadleika. Ve'ein Tzarech Lomar Targum Shebe Ezra Ushebe Daniel Ushebe Torah Targum Shebe Torah. Now, Sefer Daniel, a good percentage of it is written in Aramaic. So, if I have Sefer Daniel, the part that's supposed to be written in Aramaic, and if it's written in Aramaic, obviously, I can go ahead and save it because that's the way it's meant to be written. Also, Shebet Torah, Targum Shebet, and also the Targum of Torah, meaning, well, there are parts of the Torah that are meant to be written in Targum. Really? That's the Gemara's next question. Really? Targum Shebet Torah, Mainihu, Yigar Sadusa. So the Gemara notes, I mean, I don't know of another example. Maybe there is. But the Gemara notes that there's an example of Yigar Sadusa, which is what Lavan referred to as the place of Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid in Aramaic is Yigar Sahadusa, the mound of witness. Now, period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Okay, so that's the end of the braisa. Now again, we're in the middle of the following question. What if I have a Torah where there are 85 scattered letters around the Torah? Can I go ahead and save such a Torah? And it sounds like over here that if I have any remnants of a Torah, I can go in and save it. Vafagav, the last one of the Chamesh Osios. It sounds like from this braisa that we just quoted that there is no minimum requirement, meaning as long as there are letters, you can go ahead and save a Sefer Torah. So the Gemara's answer is, Kitanya Hilashlim. The Gemara says, well, no, not necessarily. Over here in this Braisa, we're talking about Lahashlim. Rashi explains, Im Hayabo Kidela Lakate, Vitargum Zumashlimam, it's Tarfa Matsilam Bishvilo. It means, no. The Braisa understands that there's an 85 letter minimum requirement in order for a Sefer Torah to have status. What the Braisa here is just simply pointing out is that to get to those 85 letters, let's say I don't have Lashon HaKodesh of a Sefer Torah, but rather have the word Yigar Sa'adusa. Right? Yigar is three letters, Sa'adusa, six letters. So now, right, I have nine letters. So let's say I have 76 letters plus Yigar Sa'adusa. I might have thought that because it's Aramaic, it's not Lashon HaKodesh, that doesn't count towards the 85 minimum letter. So that's what the point of the braisa is that no, it can count. Okay. Good. So now we have this idea in front of us that there's an 85 minimum letter requirement in order for a Sefer Torah to have status. So it has to have, doesn't have to have all of the Sefer Torah in it, but it has to have at least 85 letters. Is it mechunasos or mefuzaros? 85 letters have to be in one area, one localized area, contiguous to one another. Or can they be scattered throughout the Sefer Torah? Meaning, this Sefer Torah in question is so worn out that basically most of the letters are gone, but here's a letter, right, a couple amudim later, there's a letter. In other words, and sporadically throughout the Sefer Torah, we got letters, but they are not close to one another. So this 85 minimum letter requirement, does these letters have to be contiguous or can they be scattered? Rav Huna Amar Mechunasos, Rav Chista Amar Afilu Mefuzaros. And once again, we have a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. And once again, Rav Huna comes out to be a machmir, right? Yesterday, same story. Rav Huna was a machmir and Rav Chista was a meiko. I wonder if the machlokes here has anything to do with yesterday's daf. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but anyway, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Sefer Torah Shabbalah Mishbal Lakish Manim Vechamesh Osios Kigon Parsha Vehim and Soran Matzilin Vehimla Vehim Matzilin. This Brisa says that if I can make a collection of 85 letters, right? The key word over here is the word Lilakate. Lilakate means that if I can cull 85 letters from this worn out Sefer Torah, so then you're good. Meaning then it has the status of a Sefer Torah, and I can save it from a burning house on Shabbos. But it's got, it sounds like from the Braisa, even if it's lelakate, even if I'm taking a letter from here and a letter from over there, and we're all around the Sefer Torah. So tiyufta de Rav Huna. That is going to be difficult for Rav Huna, because Rav Huna's of the opinion that the letters need to be contiguous. They need to be next to one another. So here, I love this part of the Gemara, Targum Rav Chista, Aliba de Rav Huna. So who's defending Rav Huna? Rav Chista. Is Rav Chista arguing with Rav Huna? Yes. Is Rav Chista interested in beating Rav Huna? No. Meaning, they're arguing, but what they're arguing is to seek the truth. And if Rav Chista can defend Rav Huna, he will do so. And he does. Targum Rav Chista, Aliba de Rav Huna, Betevos. No. When this Bryce is talking about 85 letters that are scattered, they're not letters that are scattered. There are words that are scattered. When you have words scattered here and there, we're all in agreement that it has Kedusha Sefer Torah. What the machlokas is between Rav Huna and Rav Chista is when they're just letters scattered out throughout the Sefer Torah. Where Rav Huna is of the opinion that if there are letters scattered, no, that doesn't have Kedusha. It doesn't have the full Kedusha Sefer Torah. I can save it from a burning building. Rav Chista will tell you, no, I disagree, that even if it's letters that are scattered, it still has Kedusha Sefer Torah, provided that it has minimum 85 letters. Okay, now where do we get this idea of 85 letters? So as I already explained, is that a chumash?
No.
Okay. As we already explained, the 85 letter minimum comes from the parsha of Vayihi ben Soha Aharon. In other words, that is the smallest. Thank you. I appreciate it. That is the smallest self-contained parsha in the chumash. Parsha is Baloscha. Okay, and at the end of Perek Yud. Hey, look at that. Broken clock is right twice a day. So the end of Perek Yud, so you have Vayim Tzorin, Vayim HaMashokum HaShem, Vayafut Zayvecha, Vinusa Mitzanech Mipanecha. That's one pasuk. Uvenucho Yomar Shuv HaShem Ravos Afei Yisrael. Again, we're familiar with these psukim. Every time we take out a Sefer Torah and return it, first pasuk, second pasuk. Okay, now as I'm open, I have the Chumash open in front of me now, and I'm sure everyone here knows this. So right before that parsha, you have an upside down nun, and right after the parsha, you have an upside down nun. Okay, and obviously these are markers indicating, it's almost like in English we have what's called parentheses, right? Parentheses, there's an open, there's a close. Okay, we all understand how the parentheses work. It's kind of like there's parentheses. Where does it come from? Where does this idea come from that I'm putting upside down nuns? It comes from our Gemara that we're about to learn right now. Tanur Rabbanan, we are in the bottom of Chuf Tes Vav Amid Beis, about to start today's daf. Tanur Rabbanan, Vayhi Ben Tzaron, Vayyam HaMashah, Parsha Zu, Aseh Lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aseh La HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simanios Milamala Ulamata. There are signs, simanios, placed in front of it and after it. Lomar She'in Zeh Mikoma. To teach us that this is not the right place for the Parsha of Vayhi Ben Tzora, but somewhere else is the right place. So there's a couple of interesting points. First of all, the Gemara never says what the simanio should actually be. Meaning we have as part of our Mesorah that they're upside down nuns. That's not mentioned in the Gemara. So obviously there's some sort of Mesorah, which is outside of the Gemara, that the simanios, the signs are upside down nuns. There is a famous commentary of Rabbeinu Bachya, famous because I know it. There is a famous commentary by Rabbeinu Bachya that says that the reason why it's a nun and the reason why it's upside down is because what you're now supposed to do is, in Sefer Bamidbar, count back 50 parshios. Now, we're not going to do this now because it would take a while to do this. But in other words, not 50 psukim, 50 parshios. So that means that any time that there's a break in the Sefer Torah, that's one parsha. So take this and go back 50 because that's its proper place. It really belongs over there. However, it was transplanted. It was taken from over there, which is basically the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Right? I think by base.
What is this? What? Where did it come out to? Do you know where the body comes out to?
It should come out to the Degalim. Meaning in Perek Beis, we talk about the the formation of the Jews in the desert. And then it starts with the first Degal, which is to the east. The second Degal, Machne Ruvain, which is to the south. And then, Vinasa Oa Moed. Then comes Oel Moed, Machne Halevim, B'socha Machnos, Kasher Yachnu, Ken Yisau, Ish Al Yadol Diglehem. So in other words, what where it should land is, and I assume it does, right here, at that point.
Space there also.
I mean, it's a Parsha, right? It's
an, no, but there's a larger it, space between the words.
The larger than normal?
For possible insertion.
Could be. Okay, so that's where its proper placement should be, and then Vayhi Ben Tzoron, Vayom Moshe, and it was transplanted and was moved over here. The obvious question, which the Gemara is going to deal with, is why was it moved? Meaning, if this is a proper place, all the way back in Perek Beis of Sefer Bamidbar, why is it moved over here? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Rabbi Omer, Lomen Hashem, who's that? Rabbi says, no, that's not why there are simanios. So Rabbi says that simply the fact is that it's a sefer bifnei atzmo, it's its own independent sefer. I ask you, a chumash has how many sfarim? So let's think about this. The word chumash comes from the word chamesh, right? So in other words, five, right? So I would say five. Five chumashim in the Torah. Rabbi would say, no, there's not five chumashim in the Torah. There are seven. Of course. Oh, you really confuse people. The b'fnei atzma kaman az lahad amar shmuel bar nachman amar av yonasan chatzma mudah shiva. The pasuk of Mishlei says that we were carved out seven pillars. Elu shiva sifrei Torah. The seven Sifrei Torah. What? Not five? So the Gemara says, yeah, correct. Come on, Karebi. Because this statement of Shmuel Bar Nachman, quoting Rabbi Yonasan, is going in conjunction with Rebbe. Rebbe feels that this parsha is a parsha b'fnei atzmo. So that means that this is one. That means that everything before it in Sefer Bamidbar, that's its own separate parsha. That means everything after it in Sefer Bamidbar, that's its own separate parsha. So in other words, Bar Midbar really comes out to three, leaving us Breishis Shmos, Vayikra, Devarim. That's another four. 3 plus 4, that's 7. 7 parshios according to Rav Yonasan, according to Rebbe. Okay. Mantel de Palagala de Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, who argues with Rebbe? Meaning that this is not... It's not bracketed off because it's a parsha b'fnei atzma, but it's bracketed off because it's transplanted from another area in Chumash. So the Gemara notes that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the time we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Atida parsha zu sh'teyaka mikam v'tikaseh b'mkama. Eventually, what's going to happen is, I guess man Mashiach, is that when Mashiach comes, this parsha over here is going to be moved back to its original place. V'tikaseh b'mkama. Velama kasva kan, and now the Gemara asks the obvious question. So, if it doesn't belong here, and it really belongs earlier in Sefer Bamidbar, so why here? Kedei lahafzik bein peronius rishon leperonius shniyah. Because we need a break between all the peronius. Meaning, we get to Parshas Baaloscha, it is just simply depressing. The Jews complain, there's a plague, the Jews get killed, Jews complain again. In other words, we just need a break in the action. And the action, of course, not being good action, meaning it's all depressing. So what is going to be the break? Vayhi ben Soa. Okay, it's there to create some sort of contrast, and we're not reading one depressing story after another depressing story. So, bein perenis rishon leperenis shniyah. Perenis shniyah mayhi, vayim kim am kim esoninim. So, the perenis shniyah is the beginning of chapter 11. Perikid Aleph, vayhi am kim esoninim. The people are starting to complain. And Akash Baruch Hu comes down, and Vativar Bam Eish, and there's a fire, and it, okay. Peronis Rishona, and what is the Peronis Rishona? Vayisu Mehar Hashem, and Va'amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Shesaru Me'achorei Hashem. They left Akash Baruch Hu. Okay, now, stay with me. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment in terms of what exactly that means. Where does it belong? Where does the parsha of Vayhi ben Soa actually belong? Amar Ravashi, b'Degalim. It goes back to the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, to the Degalim, which I pointed out earlier, the middle of Perek Beis of Sefer Bamidbar. And then you can add to that the comment of Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, which is the wife's upside down nuns, to tell us that it should go back 50 parshios earlier. Okay, let's spend just a couple of moments now talking about a break in the action. Meaning, what exactly, look, the after Vayhi ben Soa, I get it, it's depressing reading. The nation complains to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, right after the parsha of Vayhi ben Soa. The nation's complaining to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu hears, out comes the fire, starts consuming the people. The nation calls out to Moshe. Moshe davens on behalf of the Jewish people. The fire goes down. And the place is called Tav Eira. Then comes out a group of people who are lusting after meat. They complain to Moshe, remember the meat. Oh my gosh, it's terrible. And then the whole story with the Slav. That's all after the Parsha of Vayhi ben Soa. What exactly is happening beforehand where the Gemara says we need a break in the action? It's not particularly clear. In other words, I'm going to read now the psukim before Vayhi ben Soa. Vayisu me'ar Hashem derech shosh yamim. They left the mountain of Hashem, meaning that's Har Sinai, for 3 days. Va'aron b'is Hashem nosa lefneim derech shosh yamim lasur lahem menucha, to look for a resting spot. Va'anan Hashem alayim yomam ben asam min amachana, and the cloud is walking before them during the daytime. Okay. And that's peronios, meaning, and that apparently is a catastrophe. And that's why we need this parsha to break between the two. So it's not particularly clear, even though the Gemara says it's to create a break in the action, what break in the action are we actually talking about? So Rashi is of the opinion that the break in the action is that they actually started complaining for meat beforehand, but the Torah didn't want to put it over there. So therefore, Vayhi ben Soa is kind of there as a buffer, even though they actually started complaining for meat before that point in time. That's Rashi's opinion. Take a look at the top Tosfos on this Amud, where Tosfos quotes Rashi and Tosfos doesn't agree. Perish Bekushas, I'm reading this top Tosfos. Perish Bekushas, Shemi'at V'itzchilu, L'sh'ol Basar, V'omeri, De'enirali. The Ri says, I don't see that. Kain Ela Peronis, Rishonis, Kedam Rebbe Medrash. But rather what he does is he turns to a Medrash to explain what the Peronis was before. It's interesting, because according to the Ri, you're not actually going to see this in Chumash, but you have to know a particular medrash. The medrash reads, "Vayisu shenasu me'ar Hashem." I'm sorry, "Me'har Sinai derech shloshes yamim ketino kayotzi mi'beis ha'sefer shaborech lo v'holech lo." You ever see when school gets out? You ever see the last day of school, and doesn't matter what school it is? You ever see the last day of school? Right, the joy, the jubilation. Right, the excitement. So, it's not a new phenomena. In fact, it's a very old phenomena. In fact, the Medrash says that was the Jewish people when they left Har Sinai. Meaning they were so happy to leave Har Sinai, ketino kayotzi mibeis hasefer, like a child running away from school. And shebarech lo v'holech lo. In other words, and now, you go back to the Pesukim, actually, you can actually see it in the Pesukim. Vayisu me'har Hashem derech shlosha yamim. They leave Har Hashem. Usually when you're talking about moving to a new place, you're talking about destination where I'm going to. Here the Torah says, they're leaving Har Hashem. So in other words, you certainly get the idea from the Pesuk itself, that it was all about them leaving. That's the Peronis Rishonis, says Tosfos. And then afterwards, it's all the complaining and the lusting after meat. So that is, Tosfos says, that's the break in the action. Ramban on Chumash, meaning take a look at the Ramban right here. The Ramban on Chumash favors this pshat of Tosfos, that it has to do with this idea that they were tino keborech me be sefer. It's like a child running away from school. By the way, the Parshas Baloscha in the year comes out usually right around when school gets out. Meaning, it's a fantastic sense of humor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I'm telling you, I think about it every year. In other words, I know I'm in the profession of education, but right around the end of May, the beginning of June, that's when Parshas Baloscha comes out. And you know, and you think about this Tosfos, and you take a look at the Ramban right here on Chumash, and the Ramban favors Tosfos' pshat, and the Ramban says that first of all, why were they so happy running away? Meaning, let's understand that even one step further. So the Ramban says, because they were afraid that if they stay at Har Sinai, that means there's going to be more mitzvos. Right? We're going to have to learn more. We're going to have to do more. We're going to have to comply to more. So they were running away from Har Sinai because enough already. Meaning we have enough mitzvos. So that's Ramban's explanation of why they were so happy to run away from Har Sinai. Additionally, the Ramban says over there in Chumash that they're actually, I glossed over this point, but now I will not gloss it over. After Vayhi Mitzorah, there actually are two catastrophes. Meaning there's Vayhiyam Kimisonim, right? The nation's complaining. Torah's not really that clear about what we're actually complaining about. Out comes the fire. Moshe prays on behalf of the Jewish people, and the fire subsides. And that place is called Tavera. And then Pasuk Dalet, it starts, it's like a new section. And then they start complaining for meat. That seems like another episode, another event. The Ramban on Chumash writes, correct, meaning those are two separate events. But rather, what the Torah doesn't want to happen is three catastrophes to come in a row. What's three in a row called? It's called the Chazaka. So the Ramban says that what we're going to do is we're going to stick, well, not we, what the Torah does is it takes Vayhi ben Soa, transplants it from the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, places it over here, so that that way you won't have three catastrophic events in a row, creating a chazaka, so that's why it's placed over there. That's the Ramban on Chumash. What's going to happen Bizman HaMashiach when it goes back?
Is there a thing where you have to learn every 3 days from this, that you're...
Is this a source for that? I don't know.
They didn't learn for 3 days, so that motion.
Okay, could be. Okay. Ibai Lahu. We're back to the Gemara now. New topic of discussion. Okay. So again, now so far what we talked about today. Yesterday's discussion was language, whether if it's written in another language does it have status. Today we spoke about inks. Today we also spoke about a minimum amount of letters in order for Sefer Torah to have Kedusha, 85 letters, scattered or put together, Machlok, Shin Rav Huna, Rav Chista. And now we move on to a new discussion, which is, what about the Gilyonim? Okay, you know what a Gilyon is? The margins. Okay, every book, every Sefer, has Gilyon, has margins. Okay, and why does it have margins? It's very simple, because when you want to write notes, so you need a little area on the side in order to write. I say that not even joking. Meaning, the reason why there are margins is because you got to, there's got to be some space separating the edge and where you start to write. But, in other words, Gilyon, margins. The question the Gemara is going to ask is basically the following. We know that a Sefer Torah has Kedusha. That's the letters of the Sefer Torah. How about the margins? Now, we talk about margins, we could be talking about the outer margins. We could talk about the empty space between partios. Right? We can actually even get even more microscopic, and we could talk about the space between one letter and the next letter. Do all these areas of a Sefer Torah have Kedusha as well? Gemara discusses this question.
The Gemara says, well, let's look at the following. Sefer Torah Shebalim, Yishpal Lakish, Manim, V'chamish, Osios, Kegon. Parsha V'hibin, Tzohar, Manim, Matzilin, V'imla, V'im, Matzilin.
So if I can find 85 letters, so then we're going to save the Sefer Torah. Find 85 letters? I don't understand. Aren't there margins? Meaning, most of the Sefer Torah are now margins. So the margins themselves should warrant the salvation, the saving of the Sefer Torah. So, v'amai, typically, mishim gilyon didei. So the Gemara says, balashani. The Gemara says, no. Meaning, in this particular case, we're talking about a Sefer Torah that's rubbed out. When the Sefer Torah is rubbed out, so then the margins lose their Kedusha. Our discussion right now, our question right now is, margins of a Sefer Torah where the Sefer Torah is still intact, and for whatever reason, the margin has been separated from the Sefer Torah. Tashma Sefer Torah shenimchak im yesh balakish manim v'chamesh osios kigam parshav v'hi b'tzorah ram matzilin v'im lav ein matzilin. Here in this next brisa that we're quoting, the Sefer Torah is nimchak, it's actually erased. That's different than being rubbed out, that's called erased. So im yesh balakish, so if it has 85 letters, fine. If not, it doesn't, then you can't save it. And again, the Gemara's question is, v'amai, typically, mishum gilyon d'day. What about the margins? Malkum aksav lo kimi baile. The Gemara says, look, if you're talking about the actual area where I wrote the letter, so that area, obviously, has Kedusha for one reason only. Because I wrote the letter on that area. Dechi kadosh agav ksav hu dekadosh. It only has Kedusha because of the letter. Azo ksav, Azrola Kedusha say. But once the letter's been removed, so is the Kedusha. Kikami Baile Shamala Vishamata Shabain Parsha La Parsha Shabain Daf Lidaf. Shibitrila Sasefer Shibasofa Sefer. The Gemara's question is further clarified. I'm only asking about not the area where the letter was written on, because that only has Kedusha when there's a letter. I'm asking about once there's letters, the area on top, the area below, the area to the right, the area to the left, the area in between. Now the Gemara says, V'tepuklei mishum hahu. Okay, I get it. But hasn't the question already been addressed previously? The Gemara says, no, the guy's v'shadet. Not necessarily. We could say that the brisa that we quoted regarding the 85 letters is where the 85 letters is the only thing remaining on this particular scroll. Meaning the gilyonos, the margins, were cut out. So I don't have gilyonos, I don't have margins. All I have are just simply parchment with letters on them. So it could be that the previous brisa is not going to speak to our question. Tashma, the Gemara attempts one more time to try to resolve the question of what is the status of margins. Hagiyonim shomal v'shomata shemei parsha l'parsha shemei daf adaf shebetzchilas sefer shebesof sefer mitamim es hayadayim. Oh, this takes us all the way back to the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. Okay, do we remember? We talked about the 18 gzeras that were enacted by Beis Shammai. One of them is that if I touch a sefer Torah, my hands become tamei.
counterintuitive gzeira bei shamai, but okay, it's counterintuitive. And that that if I touch something that has the status of Sefer Torah, so then my hands become tame. And not only if I touch the lettering of a Sefer Torah, but even if I touch just the gilyon, just the margins of the Sefer Torah, my hands become tame. It sounds pretty clear that even the gilyonim have kedusha. So the Gemara says, "Demagav Sefer Torah Shani." Yes, but keep in mind, that margin was connected to the Sefer Torah. So yes, when you have the totality of a Sefer Torah with the Gilyonim, so then it's not a question. The Gilyonim have Kedusha. Our question is, if for whatever reason the Gilyonim are cut away from the Sefer Torah, do they still have status of Kedusha Sefer Torah? Where if my house is on fire, I go into the house and save it from the burning house. Tashma, I said that was the last proof. I misspoke. This will be the last proof. Tashma Gilyonim is different. Mina mein matzilam samim nea deleika. Elan Israfim bim koman. Hein va'aska reseim. If I have a Sefer Torah that's written by a heretic, a min. So I do not say that Sefer Torah. That Sefer Torah has zero kedusha. Even the Shem Hashem on the Sefer Torah has zero kedusha. And if the house is on fire, let it burn. My love, Gilyonim de Sefer Torah, lo Gilyonim de Sefer Minim. Now it says Gilyon. Are we talking about the Gilyon of a Sefer Torah? The Gemara says, no, we're not. We're talking about the Gilyon of a Sefer Minim. The Gemara says, so then what's the point? Hashem Sefer Minim, Gufayu Ematzilon, Gilyonim Ibaye. If I don't save the Sefer Torah written by a heretic, obviously, if all I have is just the margin of a Sefer Torah written by a heretic, obviously I will not save it. And I can't imagine that the Bryce is there to teach me that don't save the margin of a Sefer Torah written by a heretic. So, So the Gemara says, okay, what the point the Bryce is trying to make is that a Sefer Torah written by the man, by the heretic, is just like the margin. Meaning, just like the margin is absent of any Kedusha, so is the Sefer Torah itself. Period. Okay, on the topic of Gilyonim, we have just concluded. The Gemara comes out inconclusive, meaning we don't have any definitive proof whether or not the Gilyon of a Torah has the same Kedusha as the Sefer Torah. And if I segregated and if I separated the Gilyon from the Sefer Torah and the house is on fire, do I save the Gilyon? Inconclusive from the Gemara. Okay, it's a good quote. Gufa, the Gemara now comes back to discuss a Sefer Torah written by heretics. Rav Yossi Omer Bechol Koder Zaskar Shabahem Gonzan V'Ashar Sofan. Now, Rav Yossi disagrees on one point, and that is the following. Look, I basically agree, says Rav Yossi, that a Sefer Torah written by a heretic does not have Kedusha. But Shem Hashem, meaning every time God's name is written in this Sefer Torah of a heretic, what you're supposed to do is cut out Shem Hashem. Right, what a time-consuming process. Cut out Shem Hashem from the Sefer Torah, bury that, and the rest of that the Sefer Torah can be burnt. V'ashar sorfan am Rabbi Tarfon ha-kapeches b'ni ishim yavo le'adai shani asrof osam v'es haskaro shabahem. Rabbi Tarfon, who speaks in very strong language, ha-kapeches b'nai, right, I'll cut off my sons, meaning he feels very strongly about it. That if I have a Sefer Torah written by a heretic, the whole thing will be burnt, Shem Hashem included. If, let's say, my life is in jeopardy, I'd sooner run into a base of Avodah Zarah rather than associate myself and run into the house of a heretic. Meaning the heretic is the lowest of the low. It's somebody who knows about Hashem, at one point in time believed in Hashem, gave it all up, he's now a min, he's a Jewish heretic, he's the lowest of the low. I'd sooner be with Avodah Zarah than be with a heretic. And if I and his point is that if I had a Sefer Torah written by a heretic, it's zero. And not even the Shem Hashem. Zero. Shalom makirim v'kofrim v'halalu ein makirim v'kofrim. Meaning these group, meaning the minim, the Jewish heretics, they know what they're denying. Halalu, the ofdei avodah zarah, ein makirim v'kofrim. They don't know. Meaning they're not denying Hashem. They're just, you know, right now they're attached to this avodah zarah. But it's not a positive denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'alem ha'kasav omer v'achar dalas v'amezuzah samta zichronech. The pasuk in Yeshayahu here is used to describe these minim, these Jewish heretics, that after the doorway and after the doorpost, they place their zichron, meaning they positively take any memory of me and they put it behind the door. Amr Rabbi Yishmael Kavachomer Malasa Shalom Ben Ishli Ishto. Now Rabbi Yishmael is going to support the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Then if I have a Sefer Torah written by a heretic, not only do I destroy the Sefer Torah, but the Shem Hashem included in the Sefer Torah as well. And he says, and we can make an argument. Okay, classic Rabbi Yishmael, by the way, who uses Kavachomer, who uses arguments in order to come to halachic conclusions. Right, Rabbi Shmuel, you give me midrash. I turn to Joshua's ma'am. Umar lasso shal minish leish to Amar Tamar Shemisha nechta b'kedusha yimach alamayim. I'm sorry, alamayim. When there is discord between husband and wife, so what the Torah tells us to do is to take the shame Hashem and erase it, and that's to create shalom bein ish leishto. Halalu shematilim kina ve'eva. The tachrus bein Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim. These minim, these Jewish heretics, who create jealousy, anger, competition between the Jewish people and Avim Shebashamayim, Alachas Kama Vechama. So there, to make the point and to destroy their Sefer Torah, including Shem Hashem, it's a no-brainer. If we can erase Shem Hashem to create harmony between husband and wife, we can for sure erase Shem Hashem to create harmony and unity between the Jewish people and Avim Shebashamayim. V'alem amar David halom misan echa Hashem esna uskal memeka eskotet tachlit sin'ah sin'asayim lo'ayvim hayuli. Right? They create a tremendous amount of hatred between me and them. Ukishim Shem Atsilon Samim Nedleka Chachem Atsilon Son Lomin Amapolas Velomin Amayim Velom Midbar HaMe'avdan. And just like I would not save the Sefer Torah of a min from a burning fire, I don't save it from, if the house came in, I wouldn't save it. If it was about to get drowned in water, I wouldn't save the Sefer Torah. And if it's out in the desert, I wouldn't save it there as well. In other words, you don't save such a Sefer Torah. What if I have a Sefer Torah that was written by Debei Avidan? We need Rashi over here. We're going to look at Rashi together. Look at the first wide line of Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Debei Avidan, Rashi writes the following. Sfarm shekasu lehem aminim, leizvakech im Yisrael, Umakum shemezvachim sham karile bay avidan. The Rashi describes that these are Sfarim that the heretics wrote to debate the Jewish people. The place where they debated was called Bay Avidan. So in other words, it was a coffee house? Debate house. Okay, I don't know a contemporary word to describe it, so I won't use a contemporary word. So if I have Sfarim of Bei Avidan, so apparently they're one level below heretics, meaning heretics, we were pretty clear. The Gemara, okay, there was one opinion in the Gemara, Rav Yossi, who says that Shem Hashem you cut out. But short of that, the Gemara was pretty clear about what to do with the Sifrei Minim. This apparently is one level below Sifrei Minim. So do I destroy the Sefer Torah of these Bei Avidan? In Velav Rafi Biyadeh. Yes, no, I'm not sure. The Gemara uses this expression a number of times. Meaning, I don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Rafi Biyadam, it's weak in the hand. Meaning, I really don't know. Rav Lo Azal LeBei Avidan. V'kol Shekein LeBei Nitzar Fei. Rav would never go to the house of Bei Avidan. Rav for sure wouldn't go to the house of Avodah Zarah, meaning under no circumstances. Shmuel Bei Netzarfe Lo Azal Bei Avidan Azal. Now Shmuel, he wouldn't go to the house of Avodah Zarah, but for this Bei Avidan, the Shmuel would attend. He would go. I don't imagine the Gemara means with any type of frequency, but under certain circumstances, he would go. No, Rava was asked the question, would you go to the Bei Avidan? So, Amalahu, Tikla Panayi Ika Beorta Vikashali. Rava gives a very diplomatic answer to this question. Well, you know, the path to the Bei Avidan, there's this tree in the roots, and it's an uneven path that gets me to the house of the Bei Avidan. I can't walk there. Okay. So, ne'akre, how about uprooting the tree? Would that help? Well, the place is still going to be uneven, and even when the tree gets uprooted, I still can't walk over there. Right, you hear the diplomacy. Amar bar Yosef Amar ana minayu v'lo mistafina minayu. Mar bar Yosef says, I'm one of them. I don't think he means that. Right. I think the simple pshat is that I'm good with them. Meaning, I get along with these people from Bei Avidan. V'lo mistafina minayu. And the truth of the matter is that I'm not afraid of them. However, but one time I went there and I debated, and you know, I got involved in the intellectual debate of what occurs at Bei Avidan, and my life was in jeopardy. The woman's name is Ima Shalom. Okay, and it sounds like her name is Mommy, but she was the wife of Rabbi Eliezer. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, that's serious yichus. So she had a philosopher living in her community. Now I say philosopher because that's what the Gemara says. Okay, again, I'm sure that for those who know, which is not me, you understand much better who we're talking about or what exactly is going on over here. But I'll just say the Gemara Kipshuta. Now, I'm already in a negative time. Let me just get through the story, and then we will conclude. So, Da'ahu Shakol Shema De'lo Mekabel Shuchta. Now, he had a reputation that he would not accept bribery. This particular philosopher. And she wanted to make a point that, look, he's a philosopher, he's a great thinker, but in terms of ethics and morals, don't get so caught up in this guy. So, Ba'la Chuche Bey, so they wanted to basically ridicule him. Right? Expose the individual. So, first thing they did is they give him a gift, a golden lamp. And then, look, I have my father died, and I have this large estate. And she says, Ima Shalom. Now she's married to Rabbi Gamliel, meaning she knows halacha. Sister Rabbi Gamliel. She knows halacha. She says, I would like a portion in the estate. Now, you know how it works, by the way. I'm sure everyone here knows how it works. If there are sons and there are daughters, daughters do not inherit. It's the sons who inherit. Okay? End of Baba Basra, we get to discuss that later on. It's also a pasuk in Chumash. Okay. So, what a Talmudic answer. you know how we know this because it's the end of the Baba Basra. Okay. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Anyway, I'm sorry. So Amar Le Beina de Pagale Benechse de Beinashe, I would like a portion in my father's estate. So Amar Le Pugu. So his response is, oh good, let's divide the estate. You'll get half, your brother will get half. So she says, yeah, but the small problem is, it says in the Torah that when there are daughters, daughters do not inherit. It's only, I'm sorry, when there are sons, the daughters don't inherit. Amarlay, now listen to this, this is so fascinating. Okay. Minyuma de galison me archon, from the time that you were exiled from your land, it natisa oraisa de Moshe. Moshe's Torah was removed, the Isyahiv Safra Achrita, and it's replaced with a new Torah. Yeah. Uksiv Bey, and in it it says, Bara Ubarta Kechada Yartun, that son and daughter will inherit equally. Wow. Lamach Adar Ayolei, Yuchamar Luba. Now, the next day, they gave this philosopher a new gift. A Libyan donkey. You remember back in the fifth parak of Shabbos, we talked about how exciting Libyan donkeys were? So, Amar Lahu, Shfilta L'Seifa de Safra. Now, the next day, now, apparently this gift was given to him by the son. So, the next day, they go to him for more probate advice, And his response was, well, let's go to the end of the text. V'ksabei, ano no lemifchas min ha'raisa de Moshe asisi. I'm not coming to detract from the Torah of Moshe. V'lo lo sufei al ha'raisa de Moshe usisi. And I'm not going to add to the Sefer Torah of Moshe. Uksibei memachum bara brata lo teros. And it says over there that, you know, when there's a son, the daughter doesn't inherit anything. So amra le, so she says to him, nahor naharech kish. What about that beautiful golden lamp? Amar le, Raman Gamliel. So Raman Gamliel now, the brother says, Asa chamra uvatish l'shraga. You know what happened? The donkey kicked the lamp. Meaning my bribe. My bribe obviously was much more exciting than your bribe. And between the two, Raman Gamliel and his sister, Yima Shalom, they exposed the philosopher for being smart, but not being that particularly ethical. I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the two dots.